Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast. Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and this is Core, a show that actually has some Heroes of the Storm news today, I guess. We'll be talking about that. Not super excited about the little weenie boy coming to the game. We'll get to it. It's fine. Look, there are Lions fans out there who are real stoked about Anduin. And you know, he's great, I guess. He looks to the sky and says, ah, heal my people. And then they get healed and they can fight another day. Like, he's a good guy, I guess. But
I'm not a big Anduin fan, but I think his incarnation in Heroes looks pretty cool.
Really? All right. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that, of course. We do come to you on the, what do you call it, the day after the release of Mortal Kombat 11, and they got review bombed hard.
Yeah, still are, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, in all the places you can do it. I noticed the most egregious seemed to be, I was poking around in Metacritic, which I try not to do for my own mental health. I try not to go there very often, but once in a while I'll dig around and like user reviews. And I don't even know how to describe what I saw there. It was some bad stuff.
I was shocking. I just think I was at ground zero. I think the game had just launched hours earlier. Let me check this store page out and watch the cool trailers and stuff. And it was like the review said mostly negative.
Well,
and it was like there's 867 reviews and they were like most of them were negative. And I was like, what?
Yeah. In a lot of cases, the game hasn't been out long enough for them to do anything other than buy it and then.
The game's been in, like, this is a game they've put in the hands of, like, you know, their pro scene and stuff. There's been a lot of demos. Certainly, we would have heard something. Like, I don't know. It seemed just the hype train was trucking along, even though there were, you know, public demonstrations and demos and professional players playing and saying they liked the game.
Well, this is what, I mean, it's still that way. The critics like it. Like, critically, it's being reviewed well. It's all user review bombs from various sources, Steam, whatever, people who are pissed. And they seem to be pissed about the following items. They take major issue with it being grindy to unlock all this stuff in it, which is mostly cosmetic. They think that stuff's too grindy. They think the game's too hard. And they also think that it has messages that are too political or have a certain political bent to them in the story mode, which I guess I have not played, so I can't really speak to it. But I guess there's a lot of strong women in this thing. and nobody's half naked anymore. And so people are mad about that mostly. If there's more to that, then you can let me know, whoever hears this, because I don't actually know because I haven't played it yet.
I mean, I can tell you one of the major sticking points that people have jumped onto is that specifically, and I won't go into... Here's the funny thing. When people get excited and they decide to glom onto something and say, oh, this is a problematic thing, then people try to defend it. And if it's something that could fall into spoiler camp, you have to be very careful how you defend it, yeah, because you don't want to spoil things for people.
Right.
So talking around the spoiler aspect of it, I will say this. It is not uncommon for fighting games to have an arcade mode where you pick whichever character you want. You beat a series of characters, you beat a final boss, and you get a custom ending for whatever character you beat it as.
Right.
One of the things that people are honing in on is Jax has a special ending if you beat the arcade mode with him. And with this game's time aspect, one of the aspects of the ending is, you know, what would these characters do with time? If they had the ability to toy with it. And so again, people can infer a lot from things you say and stuff like that. And I don't want to get too far into it because this is a game that literally just came out. Suffice it to say, the thing that people are incredibly upset about is one, no big deal. Two, not in the campaign. And three, way overreacted to.
Well, I know.
Shocking on the internet.
Yeah. I read the spoiler. It's hard because it's not canon. It's just like they're individual sort of things if you beat the game. So
Not canon, but you can infer things about the main.
If you don't want to hear spoilers, I say let's talk about it.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm gonna play it. Haven't downloaded it. Haven't played it yet because I haven't had time.
I know it, and it's not the main campaign we're talking about, is my understanding. Even if it is. Guys, it's Mortal Kombat. It's okay.
It is Mortal Kombat. You make a really good point.
I'm the biggest, I think, of the three of us anti-spoilers, and I'm like, it looks like a great game, but I do not care about spoilers.
Right. In this case, it's the ridiculous path you're on. It's not.
I played Mortal Kombat 10's campaign. I mean, it's like a ridiculous action movie. If you don't want to hear it, I say don't.
Right.
Stop listening or skip ahead or something.
All right, go ahead then. What's your take? What's the deal? Because I don't actually even know what the major beef is. What I heard on these reviews was mostly stuff like, what happened to my politically incorrect game that used to have half naked ladies in it? Why are we become so PC with our games? I want more half naked ladies.
To that person who's so upset about they're missing half naked ladies, there's literally an ending that has that in it too.
Oh, great.
But people like to cherry pick the things that they want to bother them. So on one hand, we're going to get mad at the Jax ending, which I guess, spoilers, jump ahead real quick if you don't want to hear him.
Yeah.
When you beat the arcade mode with him, he uses the ability to rewrite history to cause it to where slavery never happens.
Well, that's just ridiculous. Why would anyone take that seriously? That's silly. Right?
People find that apparently incredibly offensive.
Critical messages in my video games.
It seems that like maybe kind of a...
happen. It's the horror of knowing this. Why? I don't want these serious issues in my video games.
But then on the other hand, they choose to ignore the Kano one where he puts everybody in little chainmail bikinis and forces them to fight each other while he sits and lords over the top of them.
Which is that's a very Kano thing to do, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. He's freaking like, Kano.
Erases the Constitution and makes the sexist Constitution.
It's one of those things where it's just like, it's why I take this whole thing and I just say, okay, so people just want to be pissed off.
Yeah.
Because you literally have one group saying it's not one thing, and it is that, and it's this other thing, and it's not that. It's all in there. Mortal Kombat hasn't changed.
That's
Mortal
crap.
Kombat is still Mortal Kombat, and it's fantastic.
I think we can easily look at that and say it's crap. The other one that I'm hearing too is that the women are not, like, it's not Dead or Alive. Like, it's not Bikini Town.
Yeah. They want half naked ladies.
Like, everyone's kind of, they might not have clothes, but they're just, they're treated, I think, with a little more dignity and respect and look like normal people and not, you know, video gamified.
The complaints I've heard, my complaint, or the particular complaint I heard was that there are men who run around shirtless in this game, but the women all have clothes now. And that's a
ridiculous.
That's a problem.
How can we have come to this place as a society?
I mean, if you're a European, you're probably used to seeing that all the time when you go to the beach, right? Like a lot of European cultures, just women don't wear tops.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just a cultural thing, like whatever.
It is. But I guess what I wanted to say about that particular bent on it is I don't understand. No, you know what? Here's the thing. Even the stuff we're saying right now, somebody's going to get all up in arms on. If you subscribe to a certain conspiracy that everything in your life is conspiring against you and to insert a bunch of quote-unquote political stuff you don't believe in, like, oh, I don't know, clothed women in a video game, that somehow is threatening to you, I don't even know what to say to you. Like, how is that talk about the video game or its quality? I don't know. Like, I'm not necessarily saying I want a game to do like they did in the old cartoons. Back when I was growing up, if you watched He-Man, at the end you might get a PSA. And that PSA was pretty preachy. Like, He-Man would come out and go, hey, kids, sure had a good time today, didn't we? That's Skeletor, man. And then he would go, that reminds me, if your preacher or another adult touches you inappropriately, like they start right. doing these things and as a kid you're like, what are you doing? This isn't He-Man. Why are you doing this, He-Man?
I liked that it's He-Man saying that to you in his underwear. He's there in his underwear and his little bra and he's like, don't let anyone touch you inappropriately.
He's like, the perfect spokesperson. It's just like, hello kids, see where I'm wearing clothes. If anybody touches you in any of the places where I'm wearing clothes.
Yeah, then you then tell a preacher who's not the preacher who's doing it. Like they used to do that. That very one exists. You can go, I'm paraphrasing, but you can go listen to what He-Man actually says. I understand that can be jarring when it's that kind of thing. I don't see any evidence of that happening in Mortal Kombat. Now, in all fairness, I haven't played it yet. John's played in pretty deep. I've not touched it yet. It's on my hard drive, ready to roll. I haven't done it. My son's played a bunch of it and is really enjoying it. So I can't really speak to the points of the story. And I'll tell you what, if I get into the middle of this thing and a character suddenly turns to the screen and says, you know, the whales have been endangered long enough. It's time that we take a moment out of this video game and discuss whales and how we should help them. If that happens, yeah, that's totally weird and not serving the game, and I get it. But if this is a story where some of the female characters have a little empowerment or something, y'all need to go freaking rub a tree.
I think it's just the character aesthetic. Like, I would say probably historically it's got that Marvel effect where all the women superheroes wear bikinis and have giant boobies and... you know, that kind of thing. Whereas like a more modern take is like, let them just look normal, you know, like doesn't have, it's not in playing into that fantasy. And I think the argument is that was previously a part of the Mortal Kombat franchise. And now it's no longer because we're catering to the SJWs or whatever. I don't know.
Shit.
I like it. I think everyone has never looked cooler in a Mortal Kombat game. So
yeah. And actually I'm fine. That's exactly where my stance is. Part of the reason why I feel this is so ridiculous is when I look at the costumes that these characters have in this game, I think this is the coolest most of those characters have looked.
Also, that stuff's still in it too. There's one move that Katana does where she flies in the air butt first, and she hits so hard with her butt that it'll crack. They show the X-ray cam of the skull going.
Yeah, she gets you with her gluteal cleft, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, do you guys know anybody? Like, everyone I know that gets super into naked ladies doesn't have to wait around every 4.5 years for a new Mortal Kombat to get their freaking fix. If you're really into the naked ladies,
you go to combathub.com.
11 times, Scott. 11 times.
Well, if you don't count Shaolin Warriors or whatever the hell it was, and the one where Mortal or the side scrolling Sub-Zero one, what was that called? Maybe that was it.
Shaolin Mythologies, Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah. I guess maybe that had some, but the point is, like, okay, what are you coming here for? Are you coming here for the porn? You're in the dude. I got some good news for those people. Here's some great news.
Get into Overwatch or something. Jeez.
Yeah. Go search Overwatch on Pornhub and let's look at your life and change and improve. You're going to go places you never thought you could. Actually, go search Pornhub for Mortal Kombat. Guaranteed you're going to find some good friends in there.
I had no idea they loved each other this much. I think it's dumb. I think it's lame. Now, we're kind of focusing on the one complaint.
Yeah, let's you know what? We'll leave that one now. We leave that.
It's probably the fakest of the complaints.
I agree.
Because it's silly. But the other two, by all accounts, are pretty real and pretty genuine, so much so that NetherRealm is saying they're working on fixing it.
Yeah. So their take on the grindy, or not the grindy, well, yeah, the grindy, is they don't mean it to feel grindy, or they don't mean people to feel like they must go spend money in a store for a thing that they would have to earn otherwise, and that they want to tune that back. I don't have a problem taking their word at that. But yeah, I think it's an accurate statement from everyone I've heard from, and John, you can confirm or deny, does the game feel a little punishing that way, like it's pushing you toward a store rather than pushing you toward, a gameplay path that's a satisfying one.
I don't think it's pushing you towards a store. I mean, it doesn't have microtransactions in the way that it feels like it's designed to get you to just start shelling out money to fix a problem. It feels like there's a large grind. And I had to look into this because, I mean, for me, as funny as it is to say this, I play Mortal Kombat for the story because their story modes have been so good since 9 that's what I was the most excited to get into and dive into. So I haven't really touched the crypt that much. But
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was curious about this Frost thing. Have you gotten...
I don't think that's true. I don't know.
I keep seeing stuff like basically you can unlock Frost in the story mode, but it's charged like it's $8 Canadian for the DLC. That was the one thing that jumped out at me. I'm like, if that's true, that's...
I don't think that's true. I mean, so Shao Kahn was the character that was the pre-order character. Yeah, you have to buy him separate if you didn't pre-order him. You don't unlock him in the story.
Okay.
Frost, as far as I know, is just a story unlock character. And
there is a store page for a purchase of Frost on Steam.
Maybe it exists as a don't want to do the story mode.
But it seems that the story mode is like 4 hours long, apparently.
It's not that long. You can set it to very easy and just rock your way through the fights, and it's good. But my guess is that if people don't want to have to do the story mode, or let's say you were running a tournament and you had to set it up on a bunch of machines and you wanted all the characters unlocked, maybe that's an option to get you the character. I don't know about that. That would be my guess why they do it. But yeah, just play the game. It's not that story mode isn't that long.
No. And I mean, it's my one motivator because I don't actually care that much about fighting games generally, like the long-term sort of competitive aspect. That's not interesting to me. But the story mode in these MK games and how ridiculous they are, I mean, that's my main reason for getting it and playing it. And I plan to do that because of the story, even though I'm only going to get 4 hours out of it. That's interesting to me. So the idea that there's these things that you have to grind later, I don't even know if that'll affect me. So I want to at least put that bias out there that I'm not worried about a thing that others might be worried about. Because I don't care to get all those extras. I just care to see this story and have some fun with some multiplayer with my kid and, you know, that kind of stuff, maybe with John or whatever, we do a stream. But me sitting there fighting for 10 hours to get to unlock some look that I've been looking for is probably not going to be me. So I'm putting that out there not to say that that's not a valid thing. I'm saying I'm a biased participant here and probably shouldn't
for sure
have a strong opinion in that regard, because
I think that was the one thing that I heard where I'm like, well, I can see that bothering people to the point of commenting about it,
right?
I guess my question would be, if I bought the game and I was like, oh, there's DLC, I'm gonna buy Frost right away, is there anything messaging that saying like, hey, you can unlock this character in the game? I don't have the store page,
you bought the game and you've played it, so did you see anything? Because it sounded like that was news to you when I told you.
No, because I didn't go look at the DLC. Like, yeah. I sprung for the more expensive version because I knew I was going to get whatever DLC characters they put out.
Combat
pack?
Combat,
whatever so it's called. So I thought, all right, I'll get it now rather than buy it later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you probably have Frost already then.
Probably. She probably was in there. So,
I'm assuming, yeah, she is in the combat pack.
Yeah, but I mean, I would probably unlock her through the campaign anyway, so...
Actually, doesn't confirm it for sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, but, whatever. That was the one thing I looked at, and I was like, "Well, that's a little funky." It seems like a mistake, though, and not like a pernicious practice, to be honest with you.
Right.
But yeah, this review bombing is pretty off the mark because there are people in there going like, "Why are people downvoting it?" It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird that it feels weird that this is like kind of for a game that we talked about for the past couple weeks, just being like, "Oh, I'm excited for it. I can't wait for it." And now we have all these negative things we're talking about coming out. Like, I played it, and it seems fantastic. The worst thing I can say about it is I had a crash playing it, and it seemed to be struggling transitioning between, like, the windowed mode that it does for cutscenes back to my ultra-wide monitor. So it's probably exclusive to certain systems.
Yeah.
And it didn't repeat. It happened one time.
Yeah, and that stuff often gets ironed out with patches and stuff. The weird aspect ratio.
I mean, that's the worst thing I can say about it. I haven't gotten into the towers, which people are claiming is too hard. And you can see how it kind of informs itself. You do the towers to unlock the currency to go through the grind that is the crypt. So you can kind of see where the logical complaint is that, hey, the towers, which is how I get this currency, is way too hard and punishing, and the reward isn't good enough. And as a result, the crypt is feeling like too much of a grind rather than a fun thing. And that's exactly what they said. Well, okay, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
And it should be coming soon. Like, odds are that patch will exist within the next couple of days.
Yeah. He said, we're not talking weeks. We're talking days. We're going to address this right away. The team lead said the thing I would say is I don't know when, maybe this era never existed, but I wish for an era where if you've got a legitimate problem and also more than, you know, a bunch of people share that problem, let's say it's too grindy or too hard in tower mode or whatever. What's wrong with just saying, it's so grindy in tower mode. I wish they could maybe address that. Any plans to do that instead of, I'm never giving NetherRealm another dime of my hard earned money. First of all, they shoved down this lady story in my, you know, like all that. I hate that. Like, just have some critical criticism. Think critically about the game. If it's got a problem, no game's perfect. Come forward with your thinking and tell people what you think. And you'll get this. You'll get more response from that than you are. If I ever see a NetherRealm employee, I will vomit on them immediately and pee on their shoes. Like, what are you? Who are you? What is this?
Like, the internet and video game culture is almost like we live in a world where if you're upset about your food, you pull out a gun and start threatening the wait staff.
Yeah.
Like everything is turned up to 11. It's like there's no nuance. There's no, hey, you guys, this kind of sucks. Can we please work on this? It's the most extreme reaction to everything. It's, oh, there's one little aspect of this game I don't like. That means it needs to be downvoted completely. It needs to be considered the most awful game ever. I need to threaten people. I need to complain on every public forum known to man. And in some ways, this goes back to what Bo said the other day, which is people need a place where they can protest and voice that opinion. That opinion shouldn't be squashed. By all accounts, even NetherRealm's accounts, that opinion is a correct one and one they're going to address. So you need to give people a place where they can voice those concerns. But man, those concerns are just so amplified and over the top. It's like, to a lot of us, it's like, why are we giving them that voice?
Right,
you know?
Right. Why are we letting, I mean, first of all, Metacritic sucks for how they do it. You don't even have to own this game and you can go in there and yell. And my experience with reading those reviews was none of you have played this. They were all saying things that I know aren't in the game and I've not even played it, but I've done enough research to know. Like, they just are there to be a part of the loud voice and do their thing. And I hate it. I hate that culture. I hate that it exists. I hate that it continues to exist. I know there's shit all I can do about it. And if it means, you know, if that means we got to have freedom in the industry and less regulation and all of that, well, then I guess I just live with it. But I sure freaking hate it.
I think the issue is that Steam is basically the web page for a lot of these games. Like, any game company is going to put up a Borderlands3.com or MortalKombat.com, but I'd be willing to bet most traffic goes to the Steam page and not... I haven't been to the Mortal Kombat website. I've been to the YouTube to watch, you know, I get the videos and watch them religiously because they're exciting. And I go to the Steam page. So the problem is that it's visible. That's their webpage. And it's like if frogpants.com had on the front page a comment section where everyone just said how bad everything was. you wouldn't put that there. Right. It just says people have to go to the store, at least in PC culture, to buy the game. And there's a box for them to put whatever dumb thoughts that, that need to protest is there, because it's a place that's super visible, because that's right. The web page for these games, not the actual websites. Most games I've bought and played, I've been to the Steam page, and I've never been to the NoManSky.com. I play a game all the time. I've been to the store page several times, not to the website. So I think that's the problem. And I don't think the problem is, hey, Epic Store's got this thing and they don't have it. Like, that's a whole other issue.
Right.
I just think Steam needs to probably... If I was Steam, I'd be thinking about getting rid of it. Also scared too, because it's...
Well, they also decided...
Rage, either way.
Steam decided to, you had to play the game. That was a decision a long time. We had to own the game, first of all. I think there's some recent decision where you have to play it for a certain amount of time before you can do a review. Or if that doesn't happen, it's supposed to happen or something. I'm all for public discourse. I just don't know. It just gets gamed every time. Like, the public discourse isn't discourse. Public discourse would be like a moderator who can control a room. It doesn't exist online. And if it does, people scream censorship or scream corporate malfeasance or whatever it is. So I don't know what the answer is, but if it were me, if I was making a place where everybody came to get my game, and whether that's here for PC players on Steam or it's something else for console players, where honestly most of these copies that are going to roll off the shelf are going to console players. That's who's going to get this game. And so maybe they're not even exposed to a lot of it. I don't know, but they may, for them, it's Reddit. They go to the Mortal Kombat Reddit, I guess. Whatever that stuff is. If I'm a store, though, and you get your thing from me, I think I would think very carefully about whether I would ever have comments and reviews or not from regular people. And I would have to think long and hard about it. I don't think I can say 100% which way I'd go, but I would definitely think about it. Like, the fact that Epic is saying, yeah, we don't think we're going to have those. A lot of people are mad about that. I am not. Like, it's a bonus on the Epic side, if you ask me, if they decide to do that.
I would agree with that too. Because the thing is, it's like, they're going to do this for every game. Some people just really have no life, and they're going to do that for every game on Steam because it's going to get seen. But if your game's not that relevant and someone wants to go on a tirade, no one's going to the subreddit to, I wonder what the tirades are on this, this mid-tier game that no one's really talking about, but I'm interested in it. And they're like, only the people who want that kind of content are going to go there, and then it stops making headlines. Because the big thing, too, is that the stuff makes headlines. Because everyone's going to Steam and seeing the crap. And so it's a big lightning rod for it, I think, ultimately. Which is why they need, at the very least, if Steam still wants to be community-oriented in this, they just need to get it off the store page and put it... That's what bulletin boards and forums and all that is for anyways. And knowing that not a lot of people are going to see it, because it's only going to be invested users that go to forums and bulletin boards of the thing that you're there, people are less likely to put in the effort to do it. There's like zero effort. I can go to this thing right now, buy Mortal Kombat, and write, this game is garbage.
Yeah.
And it's no effort at all.
So here's what I think is probably going to fix this. All right. So, chat room, Master Don says, I'm not necessarily approving of review bomb culture, but how many games with legitimate reviews that address issues get recognized? Meaning, how can actual issues be recognized without the review bomb culture? And the answer is, I don't have an answer to that. I actually think it's kind of impossible, and this has always existed in some way. It's just a lot easier now. So I don't disagree with him that, you know, sure, it sucks for review bombs, but is there any other way for the legitimate stuff to rise to the top? And I would just say, if you're in a line at a store and you got a complaint, and you have a legitimate one. I went home and my watermelon, I opened it up and five spiders crawled out of it. Ugh, that'd be gross, wouldn't it? Like a watermelon full of spiders just when you open it. Well, that's a valid complaint. Go to the grocery store, take it back, complain. The guy in front of you, though, has decided to rip his shirt off, throw apples at everybody, and scream at the top of his lungs. My legitimate issue gets drowned out and delayed and everything else. So it's a problem everywhere. It's just gamers can do it behind their freaking keyboards and their anonymity, and they can be a lot louder about it, and they can do it in mass. So it just makes it totally chaos. So here's my solution. I have a solution. And I actually think we might be heading toward this. I've had a real epiphany over the last couple of weeks where I have much more gotten involved with the community, my and our listener communities across all the shows on Frog Pants, directly in Discord. And I found something super interesting. I check Twitter less. I check Facebook less. I check that stuff less, not because I'd have less time, but because I am talking to real people. They're talking to me, a real person. We have real stuff to say. They have opinions that I can know enough about them to decide if I believe them or not, or they will pepper their opinions with. Now, keep in mind, I'm not a fan of the genre, so it's probably not a game for me, but here's what I thought, and I can hear that, and I can listen to it. I think the future is curated small communities with people in them with levels of trust in one another, and it's not thousands of people you don't freaking know. It'll be people you kind of know or really get to know. And in this case, it's listeners. But I would much rather today go to my, I'm about to set it up, but go to one of the gaming Discords right now. Neither Boop nor Core has one, but we're going to make that happen. Anyway, I'd rather go there and talk to you guys directly or over Twitch or talk to you two directly. So the three of us are hashing it out and talking about what we like or we don't like. Like, that's how people get it done historically. If you want to talk about what the cavemen were doing, they weren't going to look at some stone where 1,000 strangers scrawled in a bunch of bullshit. They go inside the cave and talk to their 8 neighbors and go, all right, ugh, and they make the deal happen. So I think that's the future. Whether we want it to be or not, whether it goes counter or antithetical to what the internet is or not, I still think that's where we're headed. If we want to make peace with this, because there's no other way to do it. I can't trust the mob. It used to be, the wisdom of crowds. F the wisdom of crowds. 2 fingers straight up, middle ones. Look, bird, 2 birds. F that. All right, I'm off my rant. This.
We got Scott on the soapbox today, John.
I know, look at that. That's good.
It's good. But I agree with him.
Yeah, it's important because we need something to what Mastodon said. I agree. There has to be some level of accountability to the companies, too. I mean, if we lived in a world where there were no user reviews, let's pretend you didn't have a place you could go and post that.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a game that is being reviewed very well critically. I don't know what the number is at the moment on like Metacritic for official reviews, but it's positive.
Right.
And you look at that. Now, I'm not going to say that NetherRealm would do this or is guilty of this. This is just who we're talking about at the moment. But if I'm that developer and I've got a game that seemingly looks great, am I incentivized to fix something that people are just politely discussing as a problem? Maybe not so much. Mm. If they're treating the game like it's on fire, maybe there's a little more hustle to try and fix that sort of thing. Now, we want to believe they would fix that they would say, oh, you know what? There's a lot of people complaining about this aspect. We should fix that part of the game. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a lot of people that are afraid that companies aren't that altruistic. And I think that's where that screaming comes in, is we only get paid attention to if we're screaming. And then on the other side, you hear, we would be more inclined to pay attention to you if you weren't screaming.
Yeah.
You know, Blizzard, I noticed that they eventually had done this, but one of the things I used to not chuckle about, but used to just scratch my head over, was you go to worldofwarcraft.com or whatever the site was, and it always show you like the top 10 hottest posts, and they were always Blizzard's giant pile of shit companies, like top voted posts. And I'm like, why is this on their front page? Like, every time I go in, there's this little box on the right. It's just like the garbage discussions that happen that, you know, I just went there now. It's not on there. So I think that's the right move.
Yeah. For people. And I realize, as I say what I said earlier, it doesn't answer the issue of where does legitimate criticism get back to the companies, and maybe it just needs to get back to the traditional way. They've got Twitter accounts, they've got websites.
It's a combination of like you said, that the trust audience that you build. And then, you know, if it's based on money, looking at, you know, if no one's buying X product, then what's the problem with it, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I think this game looks cool and I'm excited to play it. I guess I'm just bummed that there's so much.
Can we do a shout out? We should shout out Tyler.
Tyler's awesome.
Tyler Lansdowne, who does the combat public persona now. We can shout him out. He's a community lead on Mortal Kombat 10, yeah. or sorry, 11. And we got to play. He's a big fan of Core.
Yeah, him, he listens to the show. He's probably listening right now.
And listen to our show. And now the shoe's on the other foot. I'm watching Combat Cast, and I'm like, I haven't bought the game yet, but I've been really digging on watching all the updates, and I've tuned in to watch to try and learn how to play on their Combat Cast. I think I'm learning things. I don't know. Fighting games are hard for me, but anyways.
Well,
yeah, I'm
hats off. I think it's a successful launch. It looks like an amazing game. And John, if you say it's good, then
yeah, I trust
you. I like it. Yeah. I mean, I'm somewhat of an unapologetic Mortal Kombat fanboy to begin with. It's just that's the fighting game that gripped me. That's the one where people can talk about Ryu and Ken and all the Street Fighter characters, and I'm like, yeah, they're okay. But Mortal Kombat characters, you talk about Raiden and Scorpion, and I'm like, oh, let's talk about them. They're the best. Let's go.
Yeah.
So that's just always been a world for me.
And this is just right to my point. If I want to find out who, if Mortal Kombat's for me, I have people I trust both in a public sphere and personally. I trust John's opinion, and there are also a couple of reviewers who seem pretty in sync with what I like, so I check them out every time. What I'm not going to do is go read a horribly punctuated shit post from somebody on Metacritic who just is all about burning the world down. Why am I going to look at that and go, you know, dipshit 451 has a point?
Wait a minute, Scott. Are you telling me that your method of interpreting reviews is to find somebody whose opinions generally align with yours and then use them as a reference point to base your potential opinion to make an informed purchasing decision?
Yes.
That's almost like that's the purpose of reviews, and not to create an echo chamber of I like people like it too.
Yeah, exactly. Jocelyn, for example, who's in the chat room at the moment. I know what kind of game she's into, and I know the kind of game she's really passionate about. And if I was interested in a game that was in that realm, I would look to her and say, what does Joss think? Because I trust her. And even if I don't end up liking it, it's okay, because I know it's not a perfect system. And Steam has return policy, so you can, you know, get out of your problem. But I will never understand this concept of just never played it, not gonna. Women are too strong in this game. It's too grindy, and they're trying to make me buy shit. Never another dime. Never. I'm going to get on this. I don't want to get back up on the soapbox. I just want to say that that's not a method for anything. It's not a way to do anything. And there's no reason, this idea that, well, without them, how will NetherRealm know? No, they know, and they're attentive to it. You could say somebody, or maybe it was even Joss, was talking about, Anthem. It seems like no matter how loud people get about Anthem, BioWare and EA are just dragging their feet on it. Like they're just not saying anything about it. Well, you know what that is? That's a company who's behaving terribly. And you don't need some idiot to tell you that. You can see them doing it. So don't buy their products anymore if you don't like how they're doing it.
There's no comment section on the Origin store page, and yet somehow they found out what people think about the game.
Somehow it's a huge controversy without.
I was gonna say Scott also doesn't have a Steam store page. Like Core, we don't have a Steam store page for our podcast, although Valve hook us up, man. Get us on the distribution. Yeah. But actually no, don't do it. But if we had a Steam page, we don't have a Steam page, and we hear all kinds of feedback anyway. Like, the feedback gets
to us. Oh, it'll get you there. We live in the age of the internet. It's not like everybody's blind to it unless a bunch of randos yell at you. It doesn't work that way anymore.
I don't know. Learned this week, you can't cut diamond without another diamond, but you can crush it with a hammer.
Yeah.
There's no need to bury it in 5 feet of ground and cast Thunder Wave because you need a big source. The feedback will get to you.
It will. It will. You know,
I learned that I can crush diamonds. Just they're like Play-Doh, basically. Just
need a hammer and you're good.
I'm a big fan of a live show where you spend most of it Googling information about.
Hey, if the feedback's polite, I like learning. So keep the feedback coming. But if it's accompanied with 0 out of 10 role playing game podcast. Doesn't know enough about diamonds. Like, I'm sorry, I just didn't pay attention in science class. Like, what can I tell you? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Nick,
but I like learning. So good. See, there's good feedback. There's literally good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is, I think, the store page in particular on Steam right now is, it's not good feedback. It's a lot of toxicity laced into it that makes everyone hostile on both sides and takes away from our passion, which is we enjoy playing games. It's fun. We're supposed to be smiling and being happy and, you know, talk about those serious issues. But remember, you know, we're all enjoying this thing.
Yeah. What's frustrating about that is I play a lot of indie games and I pay a lot of attention to what's happening on Steam in that area. And when it's a game that isn't a big AAA title with millions of people downloading it and playing it, you do have a smaller audience, obviously, and therefore your responses in there are going to be less toxic just simply from the numbers. And I like that. Like, I like going into my little weird space game and finding 8 reviews where it's very thoughtful. Guy played it for 300 hours, has some complaints, but overall loved it. Here's the things he liked. Like, it's a reasonable thing happening. Just like our Twitch chat right now on a show like Core, where, you know, we do more on the podcast than we do live, a lot more, but here they are. They're polite and nice and saying things, and some of it's disagreeing, some of it's agreeing. It doesn't matter. But if we had, you know, 50,000 people in here, it'd be a shit show. It'd be the worst day ever because you can't control those numbers. I think it's a numbers problem. And so
I think people with the kind of OCD where they must type toxic things every 2 seconds gravitate to where there's the biggest audience, you know. Right. Oh, there's 50,000 people in this channel. I can't wait to write the N-word 5,000 times. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
And tell my mom what I did today. She'd be proud of me.
Hey, mom, check it out. Like your mom will ever know. That's the funny bit. All right, let's move past this. More on that later, though. I do think I haven't played it yet. I plan to. Like I said, Nick really likes it. John is a fan. We'll probably talk more about it later and maybe even do a stream or two where we fight each other.
Yeah.
Round one all the way through fatality. We'll see how it goes.
Possibly some murder.
Murder. That's what's great about that game. You murder your opponent like 8 times in just the one round, and they still get up and fight. It's the best thing. Like, it's great.
There's one part where they were showing it, and you stick 2 spikes, one in each of the guy's eyes.
Yeah.
And then you kick him up in the air and then punch him. And then somehow they're okay and have eyes again.
Right.
Like, yeah. Wait, what?
Every character has a thing called fatal blows, which you can do when you're almost dead. You can activate it. And it's a series of moves that are just, it might as well be 8 fatalities strung together into one set of moves. And then the opponent's just like, but I'm good. I think my favorite is Aaron Black, the cowboy. He shoots you a bunch of times, knocks you around. And then at the end, he shoots straight up in the air. The bullets ricochet off 2 gold coins and fly into each of the opponent's eyes.
Wow.
And the opponents are like, I got shot in the eyes. All right, let's continue fighting, please. I gotta keep going. I might win this.
I think maybe this game does need those He-Man PSAs. Now, kids.
Yeah.
Have play with actual guns.
Dark Raiden can teach you a little lesson about now careful around live electrical wires, kids. You'll never know.
After he murders somebody, Scorpion pops back up. All right, kids, we had a lot of fun today, but I'm here to tell you that fatalities are not fun. If you have a friend, his heart needs to stay in his chest.
We should do some of these. You know what? My favorite thing about what I've seen about this game so far is the rigging is amazing. Like, the faces and the expressions, they don't seem uncanny valley and stiff like they did in 9 to me. I mean, they were fine. They expressive. Were good, but they're so expressive in this. It'd be fun to make fake PSAs out of them. I bet you could.
It seems to be using the same face technology that they kind of put out there in full force for Injustice 2,
yeah.
Which was same thing. Like, you just looked at them and you're like, it's so close to Uncanny Valley. I think Injustice 2 hit the Uncanny Valley for me, where I'd be watching him talk, mm-hmm. and I just found myself doing that, like, something's going on. This one seems to have found the balance of, like, it looks like a really good and expressive face, and I'm not, like, just staring at it like something's wrong. I'm in the weird future of robot people.
Yeah, I think that looks really cool. Plus, I think it'd be funny to, like, the Scorpion should warn kids about the dangers of fire and setting fire to things. Kids, now listen. You shouldn't play with fire. Thanks,
we
Mr. Scorpion.
We had a good time today, but setting fires is never fun.
Johnny Cage can give you advice about your actual realistic chances of becoming an actor in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right.
He's such a douche. I'm excited to see him, but he's
just... Johnny Cage is so good in this game.
I've heard.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I've heard. I've heard he's just...
He hangs out with himself. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play the story. I'm excited. And you know what? If I get to a point where there's a girl with clothes on, I'll see how offended I am. Okay, I'll let everyone know.
Also, I will say, look for this, Scott. This is a way to avoid a spoiler.
Yeah.
Look for one of our favorite Fargo lines coming out of Johnny Cage's mouth.
Oh,
one of my
really?
Favorite moment. Yeah, there's a Fargo line in there.
Shut up. That made the
game
better.
It might
better
be
already.
Slightly adjusted, but it's there's a Fargo bit.
I'm completely in on whatever the hell that even is. I'm super stoked.
What the heck you mean?
The heck you mean?
Not that one. It's not that one.
Does he say I am working? Yeah, I am
kids
cooperating.
Are down at the McDonald's, the McDonald's.
This is just going to be constant guessing until I say which Fargo quote it is.
Does it you shot me in the face? It's not that one. It's not I am cooperating, Wade. He didn't say that.
Oh, you got it on the first guess.
Oh, you shot me in the face?
Uh-huh.
Sweet. I was gonna go chipper next. I had a few more in my sleeve that I was gonna go to, but all right. Well, there it is. Mortal Kombat NK11. Go check it out and play it. Anduin Rin, owner of the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, will join Heroes of the Storm. That's right, everyone's favorite classic Blizzard game. Now available on the PTR, not in the real world yet. And Bo, I'm gonna let you tell me why you think he looks good on that. On paper,
well, I haven't
anyway.
Seen much because the Heroes of the Storm YouTube channel didn't push any promotional video. There was a, I saw tweets of people like, "Man, Anduin's super fun." I was like, "What?" And so they did their usual PTR patch notes and just sort of launched it. And admittedly, I've been playing less, so I've been paying less attention. But
sure,
I saw the teaser tweets. Anyways, he's out on the PTR, and I haven't played him, but I did watch some gameplay, and I think he looks super rad.
What does he do? What's his role? What's his
like? You can definitely. He has like flash heal, and he's got some other white, yellow lights. The only thing that's really important in my mind is from the Battle for Azeroth cinematic. You know when he what's in the boxes?
Yeah, yeah.
He reaches his hand up, and he looks. He does that as one of his ultimates, and I was like, "Oh, this is the best."
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. So wait, what is he? A healer? Is he a what's?
He's
his...
definitely a support. Okay. He's definitely healing and doing all the healing business. He kind of reminds me of Alexstrasza a bit. He seems to always have a movement speed buff. I don't know what exactly that mechanic is, but they have the little wind tracers on him. But I just think he looks cool. I don't know what it. Like sometimes you know they do a hero and you're like, it looks all right or whatever. But he actually just looks really. I was very concerned it was going to be Mists of Pandaria Anduin. And this isn't to bag on that expansion, but if you played Alliance, he kind of was... He was like...
Just, he didn't do a lot. He got kidnapped and then they dropped a bell on him.
He just wasn't very cool. He was walking around in his white shirt and weird shoulder things and like he didn't have a
banana
suit of armor. Yeah, like he just was... I was just like, I don't want to hang out with this. Like, you do your thing, Anduin. I'm going to go and kill some cool things. You just hang it. You go on your personal journey. I wasn't very invested or interested in Anduin, and I was kind of worried it would be that iteration, but they've done a mix of it where he's got Charlemagne, but he's got sweet armor shoulder pads, but he's not fully armored up like he is in the thing. But overall, I think like visually he looks super cool.
Yeah, he looks agile weirdly because he's not running, he's walking. He does that cool walk that I sometimes like in the game. It's hard for me to say. The only thing I wanted to bring up about this is, do you think this was in the pipeline for a long time and we're just now getting it, or is this a sign?
Oh, yeah.
That-
well, we know they worked a year in advance on stuff. So if they said, we're turning off the Heroes of the Storm faucet right now, they still have whatever pipeline. And because they changed the cadence, which used to be a hero month, they probably have 2 years worth of heroes that they can just sort of keep working on and releasing at whatever pace they feel like, I think now.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. But like the StarCraft II co-op commanders, they're still releasing them at a very ginger pace, but they're still releasing new commanders there. So you might get two a year, and I think it's going to be the same treatment for heroes going forward.
Yeah.
Looks cool. I ran into the same issue that Bo did, where I found out that he was in the game about 9 hours after the tweet that said, hey, he's in the PTR. And I was like, wait, what? Where was I on this? And then I looked at their page and I was like, they apparently were teasing this and released him, and I missed all of it. And I think there's a lot of factors for that. You know, there was a part of me that my gut reaction to that was, way to go, Blizzard PR, really nailing that one. Yeah. I had no idea he was even coming.
The teasers were obvious, though.
Yeah,
they were. And I mean, we already knew Anduin
was coming.
There
was a yellow Charlemagne in the second one.
That was clearly we knew Anduin was coming months ago. Had that leak. But I think for me, part of it is we got so programmed as Heroes players to look for a new hero every 3 to 6 weeks. You know, like it was, oh, OK, what's coming up? What's coming up? It's been 3 months since the last hero. And we're just not at a point where we're thinking to look for. It's like, I don't know. They'll probably do a new hero at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know when. And we just also Battle for Azeroth still going strong. There's new art and new things about Battle for Azeroth coming out all the time. So Anduin popping up on my timeline doesn't set off any like bells. I don't go, oh, Anduin, what's this?
Yeah.
Like people post pictures of Anduin all the time.
Yeah. If it was freaking Bolvar, you'd go, whoa, Bolvar, what? How, where? What's what? But no, you're Anduin. The place is smelly with Anduin. He's everywhere right now.
Yeah.
So I get it. Also, this is just new cadence, man. Remember that word, cadence? This is it. 3 months.
How could we forget?
Yeah, 3 months. But I'm sure he's fun in this now classic Blizzard game.
Mm-hmm. He's already a classic hero. He's not even out yet.
Nope. He's not even out yet, and he's classic. All right, we also have on the Horizon, coming in June, according to a new report, cheaper Nintendo Switch models. Now, this has been rumored for a while. Looks like this is the most probable that we've seen. Probably cheaper, probably more focused on it being portable. Maybe. There's also rumors of two models. One kind of a more expensive sort of home one for those who want to go a little higher end. And then also one that's maybe a little cheaper that's focused on the portability of the device. I just wanted to know, after all this time now, does this push either John Jagger or Bo Schwartz any closer to the precipice that is Switch ownership?
I mean, I still want one. There was never a point where I didn't want one. Mm. It's just, it's an expensive prospect.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is Nintendo is subtly expensive because they put out their console and they're like, look, this console's not that much money compared to other things you buy. This is pretty nice. Look at what we got here.
Yeah.
Little Nintendo. And you go, all right, that's not bad. And then you think about it, I could probably spend enough to get that. And then you look at, but you're going to need to buy this classic controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I probably do need to get that classic controller. Well, that's going to be a pretty penny. All right, well, maybe I can get some of the games I want on discount, seems they've been out forever now. Oh, no, we don't do that here at Nintendo. Those games are $60 forever. All right, well, I guess this is... All right, great. So you're just all of a sudden, you're like, well, this is way more expensive than I thought. And I've gotten so close to buying a Switch so many times. And then as soon as I go, well, I need Zelda and I need Mario. And I need, it's so expensive at this point already. So I don't know. At some point I will get it. I'm definitely going to be more interested in actually a more expensive model because I think looking at the base original Switch, I think improvements could have been made to it.
Mm.
And I think there was that part of me that always gets burned by Nintendo revisions. You know, they're like, we put out a new console. It's available in ugly orange and awkward purple. And you're like, okay, I want one. And those are my options. So give me the awkward purple one. And then they're like, here's a black one. And you're like, why didn't you put this out at launch?
Yeah.
Why did this wait until 6 months later? So knowing Nintendo has a tendency to put out cool things after the fact, I think there was also an element of, I'll just wait till the cool one that I would be upset that I don't have comes out, and yeah. I'll get that one.
Fathomed in the chat says, isn't a Switch just an overpriced iPad? No. First of all, if you're going to look at it that way, it's an underpriced iPad. They're a lot cheaper. So that's a weird thing to say. No, that thing is awesome. Bo, do you, where are you at? Because I love mine. I love it. And I'll probably... go ahead.
I think it looks really cool. My friend, you know, well, you guys know Crofton. Yeah, how should I refer to him? Because you guys know him.
I know him.
But I see him as my friend, like he isn't your friend.
Right.
But, you know.
I know him enough to know that he is a bozo, and I love him.
But local legend, Crofton Steers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is also a Switch owner. And when we get together to play games here, the kind of nice thing is that that thing's actually easy to bring around.
Yeah.
So I actually kind of get to play Switch because he has one, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of like sated on that front. I do want to play Zelda. Like if there's only one game that I'm really like interested in that I know I can't get anywhere else. Yeah. Exclusive.
Yeah.
Post trigger word. it's for Zelda. Like I'm hard pressed to think of exclusives on PS4 or Xbox that I really would want to play.
Sure.
But Zelda's the one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Nintendo makes my favorite exclusives. Sony does okay, for sure. But
they did really good this generation.
Yeah, this generation.
Not every generation, but they did good this year.
Yeah.
And I've played Last of Us, but I'm, you know, Uncharted, I've tried it a little bit, but I'm like, I don't need to own that. You know, yeah. Like I've tried them, but Zelda looks really cool, so
yeah, I it is. It's really good. And I think you probably love it, but I mean, this is the worst part of this conversation is that I would probably want the new one too.
Actually, that Link's Adventure also looks cool.
Oh, right.
Think about it. I played that on Game Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks really good. That's one of my favorite Zeldas. I love that game.
I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Out of all the consoles, the Switch is the most interesting to me. Just because maybe it's the furthest from PC gaming.
Isn't it Link's Awakening? Link's Awakening, right? Awakening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that's got the windfish in it.
Was that Game Boy Advance or Game Boy?
Game Boy.
I can't remember, but I had an Advance and the SP and all that. It was on one of them.
It was a Game Boy.
It was a Game Boy, and then it came out on the Game Boy Color as Link's Awakening DX.
Yes, but that was it. It never showed up on the GBA or any of its iterations or the DS or the 3DS, so it's been a while, and I am all on board because that's one of the best Zelda games I ever played, like straight up.
That, by the way, embarrassing story about me, because I don't know why I'm volunteering this, but we'll share. It was one of my favorite eras in gaming when they just started throwing DX on top of all the games.
Yeah.
Because I had a screen name at the time that had DX in it because I was way into wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I want to have DX in my name. And it got to the point where that was a little bit embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, ugh, I gotta get rid of this screen name. It's so bad. And then Nintendo starts putting DX on everything. And I was like, no, it works. Now it's just, it's because it's me in color.
Yeah.
Deluxe.
Yeah.
Deluxe me. Look at me.
Yep. Very deluxe. DX. Oh, man. I'm looking at video of this trailer when they launched the trailer for it on the Nintendo Direct. It is so, the art style they've chosen to redo this in is so cool.
Amazing.
Just want to reach out and touch it and pinch it and eat it. Oh, that's this year, you guys.
You should eat it, but
that's this year. That'd be enough to get me to get a Switch alone. So let's see what happens in June.
Yeah, curiously enough, it's almost more interesting than the actual new gen Zelda game.
Mm.
Yeah, I do kind of feel that way because I know I'm going to have problems with that Switch Zelda game. Weapons breaking and me don't get along.
Let me tell you something about that. Okay, but actually, this is a really good example of thoughtful discussion about game stuff that could be better, right? So we're doing it right now, right on the air. It's the only thing that kept me from calling that the greatest game ever was the breaking weapons. I hated that mechanic, and it made the game frustrating needlessly, in my opinion. There was no need for it. You could have still had gradual increase of better weapons and changing them out often because you're finding cooler stuff, but when they would break, it was a needless mechanic. It was like having, for me, it's like having an escort mission when you don't need one. Just do something else.
So is the solution for that just to stockpile the weapons you like? Can you like stockpile them?
Yes, sort of. Yes. The answer to that is
inventory management of the game. So I was like, I'll spend 2 hours farming mats so that I always have this sword that I really like.
Kind of, yeah. And even when you get the best swords and best staffs and stuff like that, weapons in the game, they're not really the best of anything because they're going to break. So eventually you're going to be in a situation in a dungeon where it's a really hard fight and a really good fight, but a hard one. And you lose a weapon. Well, shoot, what do I have in my inventory? Oh, I'm all out of that one. I guess I'll use this lesser one now. And now the fight's even harder. And it's just it was a bad choice. I didn't love it. And it was paranoia inducing for me.
Yeah, I get that way too. It's the same thing, the principle of getting like magnum bullets in Resident Evil. I don't want to shoot those. No. I need to save those. And then you win the game with a million magnum bullets.
Yeah, same.
Ah, what did I do this for? And I assumed, I was like, well, the Master Sword is in that game, right? Surely that can't be a problem. They can't have the Master Sword break. And then I found out how that mechanic works. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
This is not good.
But at the end of the day, it's one of the greatest video games ever crafted. It's just such a bummer that there's like, it's like the perfect bum, but you got a big old zit right in the side of your cheek. You got a perfect butt, all right? I'm talking like model perfect butt. This will make all the Mortal Kombat.
Are we talking about my own or someone else? Someone I'm looking else's... at a perfect butt.
Yeah, what butt? What butt am I picturing?
Not your own. The perfect, attractive, wonderful butt.
Idris Elba's butt.
Oh, all right. Sure. That's fine. You can totally go
whatever
that way.
Whatever floats your
does
butt.
Do you have the perfect butt chat room? I don't know who's the
guy right now. Who has
sorry,
the
I'm derailing
butt.
It. I'm derailing it. Just picture a butt. I've got a butt.
All right.
Picture
you got the
a
perfect butt.
It's very nice.
Or a perfect face. It doesn't have to be a butt. But then just a big old boil on it. And that boil won't go away. The boil just sits there and festers.
How big is the boil? He's a big old.
I love that Scott's like point of annoyance was, I don't know, maybe a face. If you can't handle the butt analogy, maybe picture
to know which
a face.
Butt. I just there's a large variety of butts in the world.
There are.
I wanted to have the right one that Scott was intending for me to picture.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good in their prime butt, and I can't. Can't think.
Anyways,
of anything.
Think of a great butt, and then there's a big boil on it.
Yeah.
Imagine if you will. Hold on. I got a better one.
Better than a butt even.
This one's just less weird. Let's say you got you just got a brand new car and it's the best car.
It's got a butt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a perfect cake with a cat turd in it, chat room. Thank you. They've done it. And you got to eat that cake no matter how good that cake is. Cat turd. All right. Sorry, Nintendo, but they got to take it. I was hoping they'd patch it out, but that's not what Nintendo's not that company. They make perfection and they walk away. They don't go, oh, you know, people are real upset about that breaking weapon thing. We'll patch that out in 5.0. They don't do that. It stays. You're there. Yeah. You never get rid of your car butt. Or your cake.
They don't have a comment section with all the people raging about it. Look out. Take it back to the Steam store. Where's the outrage about breakable items?
You can't even get outrage on YouTube because they don't let people stream it unless they get their money or however that works. Nintendo is weird. All right. Finally, of note, Overwatch introduced something really cool this week, and I wondered if it might get some of us back in there playing. I've always liked the game, but you guys have been away from it for a while. They are adding something they're calling Workshop for custom games and modes and rules. The tool, as described by the official announcement, seems pretty flexible. You can you can change how a hero moves or the properties of their abilities, change damage or healing outputs, even add text boxes. After creating a script, you can test it with the Workshop Inspector and share it online for others so other people can use your weird setup. It's cool, right? It's pretty cool.
Custom maps?
Kinda. I mean, not really, but you could.
No, it seems like the heroes, but still. It's still cool. Like, it doesn't.
I'm with you about the future of. I want custom everything, and I think they should open that up. But this is a nice. This is way more than just a bunch of mutators. This is like tweaking every aspect of gameplay.
Workshop.
Yeah. You should watch the.
Custom scripts and rule sets to change.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? I should do that at the Overpants tournament tomorrow. Cool. I'm going to make everybody's cue broken or something and then win the game. That'll be good. By the way, well, wish me luck tomorrow.
Maybe we could make a gun that shoots out your face. this is Scott Head bullets.
I mean, whatever.
Maybe we can make Scott the hero. Can we upload custom art assets to this thing?
I don't think so.
It'll be Tracer's body with Scott's head on top of it. He shoots a Scott gun.
Yeah, Rusty Nails has the perfect rage mode reaction. I'm not saying it's his, but he says, "Oh, I see. Too busy. Or see, I see Blizzard. Too busy to work on Overwatch. Got to get your players to do the work for you. What a sham." Yeah, that's somebody could say that, I guess.
I've been begging for stuff like this for Heroes since like it was first ever a thing. Even like this, it makes me just happy seeing it come to Overwatch.
Yeah, the game. It's not a classic yet, so they still do stuff for it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not grumpy at all about the classic status, as you can tell.
No, not at all.
I'm really annoyed.
You'll
by
be
it.
Able to impact how the existing maps and characters behave.
Yeah. You can.
I don't know. I may start playing Overwatch.
Oh, again. Tracer's butt. If she had a boil on her butt.
I thought about that, about how like it's like people being mad that they changed her pose. That was a big deal, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
But she has the perfect. What I mean is, she's the perfect butt I'm talking about. She's not even realistic how perfect it is. So she has this perfect butt. Imagine if it just had like a. I would have had a baby arm hanging out off of it.
I mean, I feel like any butt would be problematic with a baby arm.
If you guys aren't listening There Will Be Dungeons, you should be doing
that. What's the grumpy classic thing?
It would make classic game. It would make wiping really kind of a breeze.
Or it would get in the way and slap your hand away and stuff. That'd be the worry I'd have. Man.
An aggressive baby arm that's like, no.
Yeah, no.
Every time you try to get too close.
Just slap your hand away. Slap it.
An extra hurdle.
Oh, Jocelyn she's in the chat, hadn't heard of this classic classification. It's because of a job posting where they lumped it in with Warcraft 3, Starcraft 1 and 2, Diablo 1 and 2. Like,
and Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Want to give Reaper Tracer's moveset, just a one-for-one switch, where he's just teleporting around, and he's just with the Reaper voice being like, "Wahoo!
Hello, love.
Yes, and then cheers, love. The cavalry's here." And then he just teleports back.
Uploading your own voice lines would be perfect. I think we're extending it farther than what this thing.
We are.
I know. I know. It is.
We are, but we're getting there, and it's probably going to be not. I mean, this isn't right away, so. Keep your eye on.
I'd love it if you could do that, but just share it with your friends in local. They're not local games, but like friends games, like not public access. Like just I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. No, I agree. Was that why?
Because I would want to. I would want to make like heroes for everyone I know.
You guys notice that? I'll say yeah. No, I agree. What does that mean when I do that? That's a broken.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's a broken way of talking. That's bad English.
It means yes, hello, pay attention to me. No, please stop talking. I agree with you.
Is that it? That might be it. It's a trick to get everyone to shut up and listen to me. Not true.
All right. Hey, everybody, I have something to say. No, stop talking. I agree with you. And then that's your point.
Oh, this is cool. Custom game browser will house the workshop creations, but that's not public stuff. That's just you. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It could, if it's popular enough and they keep wanting to work on it, I wouldn't assume that's all we're getting. You know, the features might get fleshed out over time. I love what I'm hearing. Oh, my God.
What if we made a custom map, isometric view?
Okay.
Give the characters a couple of abilities.
Okay.
Put them in lanes. Now, some arbitrary robots or something go down each of the lanes.
Okay.
You have to fight another team of maybe, I don't know, 5 people.
Okay.
Constant fighting to try to destroy a core or something.
Sure. We
can call it whatever we want.
Sure.
On the enemy side.
All right.
But you got to get through like some tower turrets before then. Does that sound like something?
We call it Overs of the Watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or let's see, Watchers of the Butt Boils. I don't know what to call it. But yeah, let's do that. But then what if you could control the camera, like zoom it up kind of 3/4 view. Mm-hmm. So it's more Diablo style kind of angle.
Right.
So you're not first person anymore. Now you're like distant third person.
Right. Yeah.
And then you changed all the controls so that WASD was not at all like like Q, W, and E were like ability buttons, and you used the mouse to actually move your character.
Well, that makes sense for this.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit.
What if you put other Blizzard characters in it?
Wait a minute. What? You mean like Warcraft people and stuff?
Yeah, like I've always wanted to know what would happen if a Tracer fought a Diablo.
Oh, wow. This is amazing.
And it's true because like they have the skins in there. Like you can play as Sonya Zarya.
Yeah.
So
I hope they're listening. Blizzard, if you're listening, I think we got an idea going on here. It could be free to play.
A plus idea.
Yeah. People
have honestly, what if they did it and they put it, they phrased it as like an Overwatch thing? Do you think the game would just suddenly take off? People were like, yeah.
What if it was the same game? What if it was the exact same game and they just said, guys, we made a mod in Overwatch and it's called this, and they just stripped the name out so it's got some other new name, and here it is. And it's really just the client for Heroes of the Storm.
But it's got all the tools built in, like replay and play of the game all that other business.
It just says Overwatch, like their logo just badly photoshopped over, and then it just says Overwatch Storm Mode.
Yeah. Perfect.
And you just get into the game and you just play it. And they're like, Jeff Kaplan comes out and he's like, we really think this is going to be just positive and great. And, you know, a lot of people just didn't like the first person thing. We're going to try this isometric deal.
Yeah.
And you can watch this picture in picture me watching sitting by a fire while you play.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
I love it. I'm in. I'm all in. Welcome to the new reality, the new world order.
I wonder how many Jeff Kaplan heroes are going to get made in the...
So many. It'll be stupid how many. And it'll go memey as hell, and then he'll end up in porn. In Overwatch porn.
Oh, no.
Oh, poor Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe Lucky Jeff. Who knows what they're going to do with him, but, you know.
Yeah. I had somebody at a friend of mine say, hey, my kids love Overwatch. Well, that's cool. Yeah, and because they wanted to know what I was doing around Overwatch. So I was like, well, I play it, you know, talk about it on some of my shows and stuff, but. Yeah, it's a good game. Is it okay for my kids? Oh, yeah, totally. Your kids can totally do that. Well, the reason I ask is they were searching the internet and they found some really questionable material about Overwatch. And I said, yeah. I had to explain that that's not official content from Blizzard. That's some third. Like, imagine somebody who just doesn't do internet things, what they would see that and go, because it looks like Overwatch, people. Like, straight up, that's. And in a lot of cases, it's exported models and rigs and everything. And they see some of that and go, what is this thing my kids are into? And they don't realize it's like purely fan fiction. It's like nothing to do with Blizzard and out of their own control.
They don't know that.
They don't have any idea. It was a very weird conversation.
It's every bit as magical as the officially sanctioned material.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I forgot how weird our conversation went last week.
This is what they do when they aren't shooting at each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got to unwind somehow, I guess.
There's one way to do it. All right. Well, that's all well and good. Now this. Real quick, what we've been playing. I have been playing Mad Max. Mad Max. It's the video game from 2015. I love that game.
Fury Road.
I almost did. I keep sending you guys video clips and stuff because I love it that much, and I keep capturing funny moments, and it's just a big, fun sandbox, and I just love that game. So I've been playing that, and I've still been playing Anno 1800. Those games could not be more different than each other. One is a very cerebral, traditional city builder with lots of strategic sort of thinking and, you know, 1800 pre-industrial age sort of vibe to it. And the guy that yells for Sigmar all the time is in it, which is great because I love talking
Sigmar.
To him. He's great.
Here's the fun thing, though, Scott. Here's your fun activity.
Yeah.
Flip the two in your mind.
Okay.
Now pretend you're playing a Mad Max city builder.
Oh, shut up. I know some people would say, well, some people have said, hey, if you play that Frostpunk or whatever it's called, is it Frostpunk? Whatever it is.
That's the winter one.
Yeah
they say, hey, that's like that. I'm like, no, not what I'm looking for. I would absolutely do this, first of all. Second of all, the Anno forums are chock full of people asking for this exact thing, John. So it's funny you brought it up because they're all, look, you've gone in the past many times. You've done future a number of times. Now we're back in the past again, and you've done current day. How about post-apocalyptic, after a war, something like that? Make that the next Anno game. Dude, I'd be so down for that. Oh my gosh, I'd be down for that. That'd be amazing. But don't give me some artificially obtrusive, overarching mechanic like Frostpunk. I couldn't get into because I don't like the cold mechanic. Like, right. I don't like it. It's just, oh, look what time it is. There's a timer been running. Oh, shit, everybody indoors. Did he have enough gas? I don't know. Oh, we lost 50 people. Well, shit. I hate that. Not into it. But I really would be into one that's like Mad Maxy, and they just, you know, I sure, you need gas, you need food, you need resources, and you got to fight to get it. And I mean, there's plenty you could do. It'd be amazing. And I would play that living crap out of that. Anyway, that's what I've been up to. I haven't had a ton of time this week. We got this Vegas trip tomorrow. I leave at like crack of dawn. And speaking of Overwatch, the Overwatch Overpants Frog Pants tournament is tomorrow night. And
oh, nice.
If you're coming to Vegas, great. You're going to have seats inside the stadium. We are in the actual, the people who make my headset, the HyperX Esports Arena in Vegas. It's in the Luxor Hotel, and it's like a legit place. Tonight they're having a Smash Brothers tournament. They've had official Overwatch and Hearthstone. There were Heroes of the Storm games played there. I can't remember if they were actual HGC or something else, but League and all that stuff. They all go there to play. It's like a legit thing. Huge stadium. Teams up on stage. Commentator booth. All that stuff. We're doing that. We rented it to do it. It's the dumbest thing because it's this tournament of eight teams who are all just listeners of shows who are all ranging from okay at the game to terrible, and we don't care. Like, it's just for fun.
That's amazing, though. Yeah. We need more of that, though.
I agree.
Give people that cool experience. Like, that's super cool.
I completely agree.
I wish I was going.
I wish you were going, too.
I'm trying to make it, but,
You'd love it. Right. Have you ever been to Vegas?
No.
You would love Vegas. Vegas is great. You got to see Vegas at least once. It's something else. You know, my rules with Vegas are, it is so much fun to go visit once in a while. Don't stay there more than 4 days. Because then you
day five's a bad scene.
Yeah, you start to realize that as fun as the artifice it is an artifice. There's no lasting happiness to be found there, but it's so much fun to go visit, and it's just bright and fun and great. And even if you don't drink and gamble like me, it's still fun. I really enjoy it. But anyway, so we're going to have this.
I remember the early days of TMS. It might have even been ELR. You would tell stories about you going to Vegas, and you would always cut the trip short.
Yeah.
It felt like.
Yeah.
It always felt like you were like, yeah, we went to Vegas. We were going to be there 4 days. We were there two.
Yeah.
Before I was just like, nah, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Anywhere between 2 and 4 days, you just start to feel the weight of it, and you just got to go. But as a place to hang and be for a couple of days, it's the best. And that's what we're doing. So tomorrow night at 6:30 Mountain Time, that's 5:30. No, I'm sorry. I keep getting this wrong. 6:30 Pacific, that's John's time, right?
Yep.
Currently, for half the year. And then, so that'd be 7:30 here, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. We're going to have this thing broadcast on the Twitch channel. So twitch.tv/frogpants. And it's like legit, like cameras and high def and like the whole schmear, even though we're just like the biggest bunch of losers everywhere. But that's going to be the fun. And you got me doing commentating with Ibbot, and Tom Merritt will sit in for one of us as our teams play, because we're playing too. So we'll hop off mic and go be on the team for one of the rounds. I'm with the Pull Johnsons, I think is the name of the team.
That's a good team name.
Yeah,
apropos.
Yeah. So we're just going to have a ton of fun with it. I'm not even sure the esports arena knows how stupid fun this is going to be. And we got permission from Blizzard to do this. So we did the whole nine yards of like getting permission, making sure everybody knew what we were up to. Know that we have no money prizes on the line. There's nothing weird like that. We have medals for the winners that I paid for. So it's all just this goofy time. It's going to be great. So that's Thursday, and then we have a bunch of meetups on Friday, and Saturday we have a concert and a bunch of food and blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be great.
Now I'm sad I'm not going to be there. I definitely could win that tournament.
You could. You'd be great in there.
I mean, I could play
like,
from here.
I want a medal.
No, you could be. We need a McCree main. Why not?
Do you have someone who isn't good at the game who would, like, they could mime like what they were doing, but I'd really be like patched in.
I don't think they'd let you do that, as far as I know. I don't think you can log in from. I don't think they're allowing connections coming in. It's all LAN based there, but
you're a person of integrity. I shouldn't be tempting you.
But I'll tell you what, it's the one of these, it's actually fun for me because I'm not a great player, but I do fine. You know, I can compete. It's okay. Yeah. Shooters are been my thing for a long time. So I'm, you know, those instincts are there. But we're playing with enough average people that I'm actually going to be one of the better players and I get to fill and I'm going to get to be that guy for a day. I can't wait. Not Mr. Middle of the Pack, Mr. Slightly Higher than the Pack, which is,
who's
never
get
to do that.
Who's your biggest grudge?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a grudge.
Merritt.
Oh, Tom Merritt is going to be there, but he's not playing.
You usually want to put someone in the sand, like as a friendly thing, but you're like, we're going to beat that guy. Who else would be? We're beating that team.
It would be Justin Robert Young, except he doesn't get there till Friday. Otherwise, I'd be reaming him.
But he has a team.
Yeah, he does have a team, or he would have had a team. But they got a full 6-man team now, and it's just a good time. I'm so excited. So watch the stream tomorrow, everybody. It's going to be goofy and stupid. It'll be the dumbest Overwatch tournament you've ever seen, but with all the high quality production value you expect.
I can't wait for this.
It's really weird.
I might be seeing Endgame at that time, but I will definitely be watching the VOD as soon as I get back home.
All right.
Because that sounds amazing.
You guys ought to let me know what you think. All right, John's been playing Mortal Kombat 11. We talked about that.
Yeah, it's good, is what I'm going to say. The only things I would build on what we said earlier is it feels like the fighting game mechanics really got reworked in a way that I like. And the story mode is bonkers and amazing. They found a cool way to take all the new stuff that they've built through 10 and combine it with Mortal Kombat 2, which is kind of the arguably best era for that sort of game and content, and mashed it all together in an incredibly fun way. So
all right.
I highly recommend it. Even if you don't like fighting games, if you're like me and you're garbage at them, I would recommend getting it just for the story mode. And also on that note, it has a really good tutorial.
It has
the kind of tutorial that can get you where if you're not, it's not going to make you a great player at fighting games, but it will take some of the things you hear fighting game players talk about that you go, I don't know what that means, and explain it to you.
Okay.
So it'll talk about frame data and stuff like that, stuff that as soon as fighting game players talk about, my eyes glaze over, it brings up and mentions and stuff like that. So you can deep dive on it pretty good too. Maybe I'll get good.
Well, yeah, I'm like I say, it's on my hard drive. Just gotta crack that bastard. Probably won't be home till I get home, but I am excited. Bo, back into No Man's Sky.
Yeah, I played a bunch this weekend.
Yeah,
that game's good.
It is good, isn't it?
We've talked about it before, but I like getting lost in the fantasy space world.
Do you do the full on like? I mean, is it like the Iron Man mode version of it, or what do you do? Well, I can't remember how you play that game. Do you play it that way?
I just play the standard way.
Okay.
Like, I think there's a creative mode where you get unlimited resources for building.
Yeah. That's kind of fun, isn't it? To do that once in a while.
I don't know. I just kind of log in and play my file. I think I'm playing just the standard game where, you know, you explore planets, build bases. Yeah. I haven't really run into anyone else yet, even though it's online and stuff. But apparently they're patching in some additional like MMO-like qualities to it.
Yeah.
The game's getting another big update this summer.
Yeah.
So the future is bright for that game. And I just feel like it's got that Zen quality where I can kind of get lost in just discovering new worlds. And
I agree. They've really worked on it. It's got VR support coming. Like they've been good by the players who purchased that game. This is a good example, by the way, of a time where they deserved a lot of criticism when that thing came out. But despite all the anger and the freak out and the whatever, they've made good on it. Sometimes
some stuff's not great. Like combat's not great, but it has this. It's weird because like Elite Dangerous is almost more a real representation, maybe, of what space travel would be like. But actual space travel's boring.
Yeah,
it's just rocks everywhere.
Yeah, I kind of like that though.
I like it too, but I don't like to play it. It's kind of more fun every time you go to a planet to actually see new life forms, even though you're like, there's so many life forms on all these planets. Like they're bizarre. Some of the and these giant plant dudes with eyeballs all around it. And like, it's cool. It's just fun. So there's always something kind of neat around the corner.
Yeah. And sometimes that stuff will surprise you. You think you've seen them all, or they're all starting to look samey. And then you'll land on a planet and there are like 50 foot tall blobs with like a big vagina face and 10 eyeballs. Yeah. Like,
and you're like, wow, I'm excited.
Yeah.
This planet is great. They've added new planet types and everything like that too to the game. Also, the game I found out has a multiverse.
Oh, what's that mean?
So as part of the story mode, I was able to go to the center of my current galaxy mm-hmm. and then reset all my progress in another galaxy.
Whoa, that's cool. That's a great It's
real weird. Now, this is part of a quest. So the next time I want to go to the center of the galaxy, I have to travel 700,000 light years to get to the middle. Mm. But I'm now in a different multiverse. It doesn't representative of real space travel. It's like a fantasy thing, but it's really cool. Anyways,
the story goes some really crazy places too as you're going through it. It's and the planets that you see through the story mode, like there's some that look like almost like mechanical machine worlds that are just bonkers. Like I've been playing it too. I knew Bo put in a lot more time, so I didn't want to put it under my games that I've been playing, but I saw him in it and I was like, oh yeah, I should play more No Man's Sky, and I loaded it up too. And it's a perfect Zen game, and it's just crazy.
I need to get back in. There. You've been tempting me. So
also, it's got underwater stuff now too. So not only does it have space travel, but it has extensive life forms underwater and base building underwater.
Oh wow!
I don't know. It's really like the thing is it takes all the tedium out of those games like Eve and Elite Dangerous, which is like meant to be a simulator of this hard science fiction. But when it comes to actually playing it, you're like, do I really want to stare at spreadsheets for 8 hours? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like it's sort of that realism isn't fun, where this game actually tries to reward you with like dopamine hits and stuff like that, like by accomplishing little tasks. And
and
everything's way more colorful and vibrant than actual space should be. It's a casual version of all that hard stuff and just sort of suits me better, I think.
I like it. A casual version of the hard stuff. I don't know why I repeated that.
I see I've sold you on the game.
You have. I'm back in. I'm going to play it, actually. I really am. It's installed. I've never uninstalled it. I just keep...
Oh, we can play multiplayer. It's a multiplayer game.
So I wouldn't mind doing that.
Explore together.
Is there any kind of limit on... I guess there's no levels or anything. You just show up with your ship and go.
No, you just show... I think when you party up, you show up in whoever's game. Like, we'd be in a different galaxy.
Yeah.
Like in the multiverse, so we couldn't. You can't find people randomly right now. It's just they're just little lights that you bump into or something.
Yeah.
But if we party up, I think you join one person's game and you can be in their local space, whatever multiverse that
is. Does it port me to that, or do I need to fly to you, or how's that?
No, mean? I think if you join a person's game, you're there. I haven't actually played it, so I don't know. But I got to imagine there's a bit of tools to find.
Yeah, they installed like warp gates too inside of like social hubs. Yeah. So you have the ability to like go through a warp gate. So it could even be like go to their planet.
And warp gates are real important in the game. You build them in your own bases, but the star bases have them too.
Right.
So it's possible to get around. There's tools for that.
For sure. By the way, someone in the chat,
we can,
oh, go ahead.
I would say we can mine iridium together.
Oh yeah. No, I'm all about iridium.
Like, what do we do in this game? Let's mine.
Mine
we'll
some iridium.
Shoot lasers at rocks. That's the main activity. Just shoot lasers at rocks.
Well, we could.
I mean, like if we had enough people, we could go and do those things where you mess with the whispering eggs and you trigger the horde of aliens that attack if you mess with them.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could actually fight. We could fight back. We wouldn't have to run.
Those robot cops. I hate those guys. Bastards.
Not even those. There's now like full on zerglings that pop out of the ground if you mess with certain eggs.
Oh, it's really?
Crazy. Yeah.
I didn't know about that. Wow. All right. Well, game continues to get better. We shall play it. Someone in the chat, let's see, Harrison says, Risk of Rain 2 been mentioned at all tonight? No, but I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot, I did play that for about an hour and a half. That game's great. It's great. It is just pure. Speaking of dopamine, the dopamine is purely like shoot a bunch of shit and then come out better than you were before, because it's a roguelike. It's just like Risk of Rain 1 as if it was in 3D, and somehow that totally works like really well. It's totally caught me off guard how much fun that is.
It looks weird, but not bad weird, but you know, we're not talking AAA.
I love graphics. Risk of Rain 1. I haven't played 2.
I never played 1.
You should maybe check it out. Risk of Rain 1 is super cheap now these days, plus I don't know how they did it. I'm shocked by this. Normally, I hate it when someone says, hey, remember that cool 2D thing we did? Like, if they came out and said, hey, Spelunky 2 is going to be in 3D, I'd go, no, don't do it. What are you doing? Half the reason.
Is Risk of... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Is the first one good? I own it and never played it.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great. It's this little 2D... I mean, and the thing is, when you play it, believe me when I tell you this, 2 is that, but in a full 3D space. And they make it work, and it works great. And I was shocked how much fun that is. The reason why it's been in the Steam charts for so long. They really killed it with it. It's good. I haven't had a ton of time to play it. Like I said, only about an hour and a half, but I definitely grabbed that and like it.
Well, part one is a whopping 91 megs.
Yeah, it's small. And it's, you know, it's 8-bit looking. It's cool. I think The Risk of Rain 1 is one of my more favorite roguelikes. I can't remember if it plays better with a keyboard or a controller, but the new one is definitely best with keyboard and mouse because it's a shooter, basically.
And the shooting feels good. WASDy or whatever they say.
Yeah, WASDy. All right, well, that's what we've been playing. Quick PSA, there will be dungeons this week because I am out of town, and it's also a good week for Bo to do a bunch of DM stuff. So we announced it on the show, but if you missed that somehow or haven't gotten around to the latest episode, we'll be back the Saturday after I get home. I'm only gone till Monday, or Sunday night. So we'll have a brand new episode the following Saturday, but not one this weekend for those who may be in the wondering mode.
I'm sad. My skin's already crawling with withdrawal.
Yep. I got, I'm seeing monkeys, green ones. It's been real rough.
Unintentional, extremely rough cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's true. And now we gotta wait, and it sucks, and it's kind of my fault. Not really though, because the Fergs are also out of town. They're at a wedding, a baby announcement thing in Florida. So,
yeah, it's not like we're missing one, and we have a convenient place to do a side thing. I really want to play, to be honest with you, but I'm like, the game's kind of not in that spot right now. So.
Yeah, it'd be you and John poking around. You know, nothing wrong with that, but just saying, it's, you know. Sometimes it's more work to do one for two than it is for all five of us.
We'll do an adventure where Bo has to hide some drugs from some cops and just let him see how that goes.
That's a fun little side adventure. I'm in.
I'm a pretty good wheel spinner, as it turns out.
You can hide it in an eclair and...
true story.
No one's the wiser.
A chocolate eclair and then tripped and fell on the ground and tossed it under the couch.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Sounds right. I mean, just... For clarity, because honestly, this is a joke for Bo and nobody else, so really knowing my audience here, but before the one shot or the two shot that we did, I did one-on-one D&D sessions with everybody, and that was kind of the theme of Bo's, and it was a lot of fun. Turns out you can do D&D with just two people, and it actually works pretty well.
Yeah, all of our setup stuff for your one-off was like that. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That turned out so much cooler than I thought. We should have recorded all of it and put it out there. It was so good.
Yeah, we should have.
Didn't think about it with the time.
I don't think we expected. I didn't expect it. I expected to be very, you know, humble, quiet, and we were laughing like schoolgirls.
I mean, it's like that sort of thing is so utilitarian, right? But it turned out to be as entertaining as anything else we ever do, and we should have put it up. But all right,
it can be intense when you do it for a while. John and I did do the one-on-one on There Will Be Dungeons. There's an episode.
Right. Oh, right.
It took a lot out of me. We did it for a full 3 hours.
You want to know why I keep? This is a weird thing to say, but it's a testament to how good Bo is at what he does. Here's why I keep forgetting that was just the two of us, is because I was like, no, Buttons was there.
I was playing Buttons.
Yeah.
But it's just the feedback loop is lower, because when you play at a table, people will stop, the players will stop and talk, and as a DM, I get a little break when you guys are like, what should we do?
Right. No, that's true.
But it was one-on-one. He's like, I do this. I do this. I do this. I say this. I do this. I do this. And I'm like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fun, but 3 hours is too much, definitely.
This is truth. Well, speaking of truth, we'll be back next Wednesday with a brand new show. So come back then, and we'll talk a little bit about the aftermath of the Overpants tournament and how fun that was. But again, if you want to watch that's tomorrow night at 6:30 Pacific time, right here at twitch.tv/frogpants. Check it out. And it's, you know, the best part's going to be Brian really doesn't know much about Overwatch, like, at all.
Yeah.
But yet he and I are going to be doing commentary.
I know.
And I don't remember a lot of names. Right? Yes. And I don't remember a lot of names of things. So someone's going to do a thing. I'm going to go, it's Tracer Dinner. What's it's there with the thing? And it's going to be that kind of stuff. It's going to be glorious.
Reaper did the spinny cyclone of spray.
And the people who are there running this thing are probably going to just be like, what the hell are we doing tonight? Like, they are going to be floored. And I'm so excited. And it's sanctioned by Blizzard. That's the best part. So nobody can deny that part.
Like, they have your blessing, or it's going to be on... Like,
No. They have our blessing, because we have to go to them to do this in a public way. You have to go to them and say, hey, we need to do the request. And there's a bunch of forms to fill out, and they have a whole process. And I did it, and I don't think this place we're going to do this at thought we were actually going to come through with that. But they didn't know that I have, people there, right? So I can kind of expedite and talk to people. And so when this thing came back, like, right away, the very next day, I was like, all right, here's our stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're doing this.
Oh, so they actually mostly do... Wait a second.
They do pro stuff every night. Not.
I thought this was a venue to let parties have the esports experience.
No.
This is an actual esports venue.
Yes. Actual professional esports venue.
This is a place where people can have the experience of playing tournament without having to be pro. You know, like, you'd sell... consumer experience of a fantasy sort of thing,
right? Like a VR
actual
place or something.
Esports. So people that are good at games normally are playing.
Yeah, no, these are where the
like
pro
really
gamers
good
play.
At games. I don't mean it insulting, but like, okay, this... so they probably looked at your request and said like a bunch of yahoos.
Oh, they were sure we were not. This was going to be the dumbest thing ever. And here's the thing to remember: like on a normal night, Ninja's there doing a Fortnite tournament or. Some huge Apex Legends thing, or some game company rents out the whole place and does like that's the place. And why it's going to be great, because
I need to get on a plane tonight. I thought it was like a consumer experience.
No,
I didn't realize it was an actual.
Well, now that you say this, I fear I have not explained it well to people, and I wish I would have done a better job of it, because. I mean, we still are.
Well, sometimes I don't pay attention. I listen to the words I want to, and it's beyond me.
Yeah. But I will be
I've learned that playing D&D with you guys.
I'll be sitting in a chair, probably multiple times in different chairs that have been sat in by professional gamers in their teens or whatever they are these days. And it's going to be ridiculous because we all kind of suck. And. Oh, I'm so excited, but it's going to look so legit and like all the, it's going to be great. You got to check it out.
Oh man, I really got to watch this now.
They may hate us. They may kick us out. I don't know. It may be the worst thing they ever decided.
You paid for it, right?
Yeah, we paid for it. Yeah. Well, technically they have a deposit and they haven't charged yet, but they will.
Well, I mean, it's too late now. They booked it, so they're going to have to let... What are they going to do? They're like, this is so embarrassing that the reputation of the esports arena is ruined.
Yeah. Like, it would be a shock if they did
that. I'm sure they can have fun. I imagine the people that run the esports event aren't, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll be,
they aren't going to be snobs about that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be funny. So check it out. That's tomorrow night. And check us out next Wednesday. And don't forget, the show runs on your support at patreon.com/coreshow. That's patreon.com/coreshow. Throw us a little scratch, and we'll keep sending you our love on the show with fantastic content week after week. If you want to find us on the web, we are at frogpants.com/core. That's C-O-R-E. You can leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462, or find us on Twitter. The show's at CorePod. You can find John at John_Jagger, Bo at Bo Schwartz, and I'm at Scott Johnson. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, for me, for Bo, for John, have a nice week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this. At frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.